Colgate Tooth Powder presents The Theater of Romance. Tonight, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you Anthony Quinn and Judith Evelyn in Suspicion. Tonight and every Tuesday night, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you The Theater of Romance with your favorite stars in your favorite motion pictures, stories, and plays.
Use Colgate Tooth Powder. Keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it at night.
And now for tonight's presentation, Suspicion, starring Anthony Quinn as Johnny and Judith Evelyn as Lena.
To begin with, I've never known very much about Johnny. I'd met him and fallen in love with him and married him without thinking of anything beyond the fact that my heart turned over every time he smiled and my arms ached for him every time he left me. I came from a staid, intensely practical English family and was utterly unprepared for instability in anyone, particularly in someone I loved. I first began to worry about Johnny when we came home from our honeymoon to the very handsome house he had bought. Johnny, I never dreamt we'd have such a gorgeous house. Are you sure you can afford it?
Why talk about that? I don't want to talk about bills. I want to talk about you. Now, where are we?
On top of a hill, looking up at the stars.
And out to the sea. Mm-hmm. I have my arms around you. I'm saying thank you for loving me. And please don't ever stop.
I don't think I ever could stop, Johnny.
Darling.
I beg pardon, Mr. Aysgarth, but a wire just came for you.
Oh, thank you.
Bad news, dear?
Oh, no, it's just from an old friend of mine. He wants £1,000. You couldn't spare £1,000, could you, darling?
£1,000? What does he want it for?
Well, probably because I borrowed it from him.
You borrowed it? Why?
Because I was going on a honeymoon with the loveliest girl in the world. And I wanted her to be happy. Was she happy?
Johnny, didn't you have any money of your own?
Not a shilling. Monkey face, I've been broke all my life.
Well, why didn't you tell me? Oh, Johnny, whatever made you take this extravagant house?
Well, I didn't think you'd like to live in a shack. A girl like you is going to come into plenty of money someday.
Oh, Johnny, my income would never pay for anything like this. Never.
Won't your father help?
I couldn't possibly ask him, Johnny. You wouldn't actually want to live on your wife's allowance, would you?
Why not? If she had it and I didn't?
I think you must be mad.
Darling, don't look like that. What do you want me to do? Whatever it is, I'll do it.
You'll have to go to work, Johnny.
Work? You mean with a shovel and a pick?
Oh, you know I don't mean that. There are all sorts of jobs in the world. I'm sure there must be one that you can do.
All right, I'm broad-minded. Let's have some tea and think the matter over. We can make out a list of jobs. You know, I think this might be fun.
That was Johnny. Charming, extravagant, handsome, and completely irresponsible. But he was as good as his word. He did get a job with his cousin, Captain Melbeck, managing his estate. And for a while, we were completely happy. Until one day, my doorbell rang. And there...
Hello. I'm Dickie Thwaite. Are you old Johnny's wife?
Oh, yes, I am. Won't you come in?
Thanks. Happened to be driving by. Thought I'd drop in for a cup of tea. Johnny told me about you. Ran into him at the Newbury races last week.
The races?
Yes, of course. Didn't he tell you?
Johnny has a job. He couldn't have been at the races. Besides, he stopped betting.
Oh. Oh, he has he? Well, don't you believe him. Don't you believe him.
I began to watch him then. And I began to be frightened. And at last, one day, I went to pay a call on Captain Melbeck.
Well, this is a surprise, Mrs. Aysgarth.
Captain Melbeck, I hope I'm not imposing on you.
Not at all.
But, well, You're Johnny's cousin as well as his employer, and I want to talk to you about him. I'm terribly worried.
Yes, I can understand that. But on the other hand, I told him I wouldn't prosecute.
Prosecute? I don't think I understand.
Well, I told him I wouldn't prosecute.
What on earth are you talking about?
Mrs. Easegarth, what reason did Johnny give you for my discharging him?
Discharging him? When did you discharge him?
6 weeks ago.
Captain Milbeck, I'm not very clever. If this is a joke, please tell me.
It's not very funny to me, Mrs. Easegarth. We had an unexpected audit 6 weeks ago, and the account shows a deficit of £2,000. When I looked into Johnny's records...
I see.
I'm terribly sorry, Mrs. Easegarth. I shall give him every possible opportunity to replace the money.
Thank you. Goodbye, Captain Milbeck. I walked slowly home, and my love for Johnny was a dead, heavy thing inside me. I kept saying to myself over and over, I must leave him. I must leave him. And finally, oh God, give me the strength to leave him. When I got home, Johnny and Beaky were in the library, their heads bent over some papers.
You see, Beaky?
Yes, that's a great idea. We could put the large hotel here.
That's right. Then we could build some beach huts down below.
Yes.
What's going on here?
We're organizing a real estate company.
Have you found someone to put up the money?
Well, you see, the idea is mine, but the capital is Beaky's, and the corporation... Well, Beaky borrows against some securities in Paris, and then we issue stock. Let me show you. You see, the whole company would be in my name.
But,
Look, darling, let me show you how simple it is.
Does Beaky understand it?
Oh, perfectly, I think. Well, you see, we buy up this land, then we sell part of it. That gives us 100% profit in no time. Then, on the other part, we build a...
Whom do you buy the land from? How much do you buy it for, and whom do you sell it to?
Well, well, that shouldn't be very difficult, do you think?
Beaky, isn't it about time you grew up? You're being very unfair to Johnny.
Unfair? Why, he's president of the whole bally thingamajig. He gets a salary, he writes the checks,
That's just what I mean.
Well, what's wrong about that? I say, Johnny, old bean, do you know Lena's telling me you're soft in the head? At least that's the way it sounded to me.
Yes, it sounded that way to me, too.
Let's have a drink, what? Sort of brandy all round, eh, Johnny?
You know, the doctor said no more brandy.
Oh, just this once. Once more won't hurt.
All right, once more. But you're on your own.
Oh, nonsense. It won't hurt me.
Care for one, Lena?
No, thank you.
Oh, thanks, old man. Oh, down the hatch. What?
Down the hatch.
Johnny. Give him some water, quick.
It won't help. I've seen this happen before. There's nothing much you can do. It will either kill him or it will go away by itself. One of these days, it will kill him.
Beaky recovered in a few minutes, but those words remained. One of these days, it will kill him. I began to see Johnny more and more clearly in a cold, white glare of suspicion and horror. And I thought, he's not above murder. He gave Beaky the brandy. He knew what it would do. There'll be a day when he'll give him too much again. Johnny found me in our room crying, hours later. A strange, restrained Johnny.
I thought you might like to know. I'm going to call off the whole real estate plan.
Why, Johnny?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe the land isn't any good, who knows? Maybe I don't like the idea of risking Beaky's money. Maybe it's a stiff job. I'm too lazy.
Are you angry because of what I said to Beaky?
No, I'm not angry.
You don't love me anymore, do you, Johnny? Perhaps you never did.
Of course I love you. I love you very much. But you should die.
Yes, Johnny.
I'd rather be dead and have you dead than give you up. Oh, Lena, I'm going up to London with Beaky for a few days.
All right, Johnny.
I'll just throw a few things into a bag.
Oh, Johnny.
Yeah?
Take good care of Beaky.
Yeah, sure, I'll take good care of Beaky.
And now, as the curtain descends on Act One of Suspicion, let's hear a true-life drama.
Say, Jack, I'm taking Ethel to the ball game tomorrow. How about you bringing her sister, Betty?
Betty?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-uh, not Betty.
But, Jack, I thought you were crazy about Betty. She's a sweet kid.
Oh, yes, she is. If she'd only do something about that little breath of trouble.
Well, I hope that Betty hears about Colgate tooth powder tonight. You know, friends, anyone can be the victim of a little breath of trouble. Happens to thousands without their knowing. Marks them down socially, brings them unhappiness. So just do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Because scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder. Colgate tooth powder brings you the second act of Suspicion, starring Anthony Quinn as Johnny and Judith Evelyn as Lena.
Somehow, I wasn't surprised when I read of Beaky's death in the London papers. Nor was I surprised when the police came to see me. They'd only been gone about an hour when Johnny arrived home.
Hi, Monkey Face. You read about Beaky, haven't you?
Yes.
I was terribly fond of Beaky.
Were you, Johnny?
Next to you, I cared more for him than anybody in the world.
Next to me. Johnny, the police were here.
What did they want?
They wanted to know if you could help them. They had a telegram from Paris that some friend was with Beaky, and that he bet him he couldn't drink a glass full of brandy.
Yeah, I know. The whole story was in the late edition. What else?
The inspector wants you to phone him. He wondered if you could give them any clue that might help identify this friend.
Did you tell them about the corporation?
Naturally. They found the papers. I told them Beaky was planning to dissolve it. And although you were legally the chairman, all the money was Beaky's, and that you would sign the necessary papers to release his money.
I wish you'd left all that to me.
What are you going to tell them?
The truth. I drove to London with Beaky Tuesday evening. We dined at the Savoy. Then I saw him off at Croydon Airport. He went to Liverpool by himself. I stayed in London.
I sat down at the desk while Johnny went to phone and noticed a letter there from our insurance firm. It was addressed to Johnny, but thinking it was a bill, I opened it. Dear sir, replying to your inquiry regarding a loan of £500 against your policy, we regret to have to inform you that under the conditions of this policy, such a loan cannot be granted. According to the terms of the policy, payment can only be made in the event of your wife's death. I'll never forget. We had guests for dinner that night. Isabel Palmer, who was making quite a name for herself writing murder mysteries, and her brother, the village coroner. The conversation was quite in keeping with the people.
I believe if you're going to kill someone, you should do it simply. Am I right, Doctor?
You're right, just as long as you don't get caught.
How would you do it simply?
I would use the most obvious method. The important thing is no one should suspect me. Personally, I like poison.
Ah, but arsenic leaves traces. It would not be the perfect crime.
Seems to me science would have discovered a poison that can't be traced. What about it, Doctor?
Well, as a matter of fact, we had a very interesting case the other day. Come to the library. I'll tell you about it, Johnny. This is no talk for the ladies.
Excuse us, darling.
Oh, yes, of course.
You want to watch that handsome husband of yours, my dear? We're having quite a flirtation.
Really?
He's been borrowing all my books on murder.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, he found some records of an untraceable poison the other day. He called me about it. Incidentally, don't let me forget to pick up that book tonight. He still has it.
That night, when I was in bed,
Johnny came in and looked at me. He looked wistful and lonely.
Hey, you're shivering, monkey. You suppose you're catching cold?
Yes. That must be it. I must be catching cold.
Well, suppose I run downstairs and make a great big hot toddy.
No.
Well, don't be silly.
No, I don't want it.
What's the best thing in the world for you?
No, Johnny, no. I said no.
Why not?
Oh, I'm in a state tonight. I don't know why, but... Johnny, I'd like to be alone. Do you mind sleeping in your dressing room?
Of course I mind.
Please, Johnny, I haven't been sleeping well lately.
Oh, I understand. Very well, if that's the way you feel about it. Good night.
Johnny, please, please don't be difficult about it. I'm only going for a few days. There's nothing wrong. I'm just run down. I'm not myself.
I see. A few days at your mother's house would do more good than staying home.
It's not exactly that, dear. You don't understand.
No, I don't. All right, if that's the way you feel about it, I'll run down and get the car ready.
Oh, you needn't drive me. I can take the train.
I prefer to drive you.
I was cold with sweat and hot with fear. I sat there watching Johnny's foot press harder and harder on the accelerator, watching the grim look to his jaw. Faster, 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 tearing dizzily around cliffs, catching sudden glimpses of the sea winking miles below, my heart pounding, desperate with terror. And then as we sped along the cliff, my door slipped, and Johnny reached across me. I knew in a flash that he was going to push me out, down the cliff into the sea. I clawed and fought him. Johnny! Johnny! Mother.
You're not at your mother's. You're back home with me.
Oh. What happened?
The door catch slipped on your side of the car. I reached across to pull it shut and you got hysterical. Then you fainted. Brought you back home.
Oh. I see.
I'm going down and get you some milk.
All right, dear. I'll drink it. Oh, God. Let him do it quickly. I can't stand it any longer. I don't want to live any longer. Please, God, if my forgiveness means anything... I forgive him. I don't even want to live if I can't make him happy anymore. He did not come with the milk. And at last, I went down the hall to his dressing room. He stood there, shaking a powder into a glass. And as I watched, he raised it to his lips.
Johnny! Johnny, what are you doing? What did you put in that glass?
What else was there for me to do but this? I'm no good for you, nor to myself.
So this was why you were asking questions about poison. But, Johnny, why?
There are a lot of reasons. I bought things I couldn't afford. I thought I'd manage to get along as I did before we were married. Well, it didn't work.
But you were doing it for me.
My gambling was just the beginning, and I got in deeper. I knew Melbeck would find me out, but I was desperate. When I went into the landscaping with Beaky, that was the biggest mess of all. You spoiled that for me, but you were right. I was risking his money, not my own. Then Beaky died. Some fool let him drink that brandy. I wanted to see if I could raise some money on life insurance policies. That fell through to him.
Oh, darling. Oh, darling, why didn't you tell me? How could you go through all this alone without...
I could take it all. All as long as you loved me. But when I began to realize how you had changed...
What do you mean?
Look, darling, let's keep this simple. You don't love me. We both know it, Nina. Have you any idea how you've been looking at me?
Johnny. Oh, Johnny, look at me now. Do you think I could live without you? I'd have died if I lost you.
I'll never be able to make you happy.
I'm happy now. Happier than I've ever been in my life.
You'll never know why.
I've got to earn the money to pay Malbec back. We wouldn't have very much.
We'd have each other. Oh, Johnny, don't you understand? This is the beginning of everything in the world for us. We've just found one another. And we've been lost for a very long time. You're all I ever want from life.
Do you mean that?
With my whole heart.
All I can say is what I said in the very beginning. Thanks for loving me. Don't ever stop.
Colgate tooth powder. Are you enjoying this good old summertime? Picnics, parties, walks in the moonlight? Or is something spoiling your fun, cheating you out of a good time? You know, often a little breath of trouble's to blame. So ask yourself, could you be the victim of a little breath of trouble? I mean, unpleasing breath. If I were you, I wouldn't take a chance on my romance. I'd do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Scientific tests prove that Colgate tooth powder in 7 cases out of 10 instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Money can't buy a dentifrice that will clean your teeth better than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder. In tonight's play, Anthony Quinn and Judith Evelyn starred as Johnny and Lena. Suspicion was adapted especially for this program by Gene Holloway and was based on the motion picture produced by RKO, producers of Back to Bataan, in which Anthony Quinn is featured. The music was composed and conducted by Charles Paul, and the entire production was directed by Mark Slove. Next week, your Colgate Tooth Powder Theater of Romance brings you the sprightly tale of a girl, a dog, a bone, and a young scientist who owned the fossil from which the girl's dog stole the bone. Yes, it's the laughter-filled romance Bringing Up Baby, just as it came to you in the RKO motion picture. So join us next Tuesday night, won't you?
Hello, everybody, hello. Hello is the shampoo that glorifies your hair. So hello, everybody, hello.
Yes, use Halo shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair. For Halo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling film. The first time you use Halo, see how your hair sparkles and gleams with natural brilliance. How the deep, natural color looks brighter, glossier. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather. Halo quickly carries away loose dandruff and dirt, needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
So hello, everybody, hello. Halo shampoo, Halo.
Until next Tuesday night, when your Colgate Tooth Powder Theater of Romance brings you the gay comedy Bringing Up Baby, this is your host saying goodnight and wishing you love, happiness, and romance. No, ladies. No.